Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
If you take a look at the fact that it is Women's Month in South Africa, as we celebrate it on the 9th of August, but also just the economic participation of women, which continues to be lacking. As we take a look at the recent unemployment figures that were released just yesterday, women, black women, youth in particular, still remain at the periphery of economic participation. And this does call not only for enhanced job creation opportunities to be brought to the fore, but for women to be founders of startups and entrepreneurial. But how do you do that with a lack of investment that is actually focused on women-founded businesses? Audrey Fahereji, CEO of Anza Capital, joins us now to tell us more and joins us on the line. Audrey, such a pleasure to have you. Welcome to the show. Kindly correct me on the correct pronunciation of your last name.
Yes, it's Belgium, but in Afrikaans you would say Verhoge.
Verhoge. Afrikaans is maar makkelijk, want Afrikaans ik kan praten. Maar Afrikaans is niet zo ordentelijk, maar ik kan maar net zo beetje praten.
Hallo, Gugu.
Oh, such a pleasure, Audrey. I'm excited to have this conversation with you, even though sometimes I get fatigued by it because it's a frustration we as women and many other entrepreneurs have had for a while, that there is a lack of adequate capital injection into women-founded startups. Maybe let's just start by getting an understanding of the status quo when it comes to women-founded startups in South Africa.
Yeah, it is exhausting because it hasn't shifted. You know, in the last 15 years, it remained the same. So 85%, and I'm a venture capitalist, so I talk from venture capital, right, in startups, money that goes to startups. 85% goes to male-only founded teams. 2.3%, look at that little number, goes to female-only founded teams. Oof. And then the rest, the 13%, goes to mixed teams.
Mm. And I guess
even a mixed team is targeted.
And maybe let's understand the reason why. I'm aware that it's not just based on are you a male or a female founder of the business, but it's also an understanding of the kind of sectors or industries that I guess female-led startups typically stem from.
Look, as an investor, let me give you an analysis of the Anza Capital's investments. Because of the female decision making, it's not just a female, I've got a mixed team. Mm. So I want to be very clear online. I'm not saying you should replace all male with all female. I think the magic lies in mixed. Mm. That's what you want. You want diversity, right? And because that's in that tension of opinion and background that the magic lies. And that's what we don't have. If you just follow the decision-making lines, it's mostly controlled by male. So it's not that males are bad. It's just that they're comfortable with males. Mm. So that's where the line goes. So what you need, if you want the change to be done, is the decision makers has to be empowered, diverse teams. With empowerment, I mean people must have a voice. Yes. They must be sure of themselves. They must have agency. So it doesn't, you know, I've worked with teams and I say, bring diversity in, and then they say, we've tried it. And it really backfired. And I say, no, but you haven't appointed the person with agency. And that's what you need. You need a team of people with different opinions that actually come forward. Mm.
And I think this is so important, especially in the space that you play in terms of venture capital, because you essentially plow capital into high growth startups for a significant amount of risk, right? There's a proof of concept. They need to show that there's a most viable product or the concept. And then from there, the startup essentially receives capital through a venture capital entity like yours. And growth is what's necessary. So we are looking for unique business opportunities in terms of the venture capital space.
Yes.
Help us contextualize, as you say, it's not just about the diversity and saying, okay, here's a man, here's a woman, now let's make it happen. It's about the ideas they bring to the table. And on your website, you have a beautiful write-up in terms of how it is that people can best position themselves for capital. And it runs through a target list. But I also think it's important for us to understand the diversity of the team, the thinking of the team, how that needs to contribute to fulfilling particular applications for funding and making sure that businesses are best positioned for growth and capital.
Absolutely. When I see a team, I want to see in the team that there's not just a mixture of men and women, but of culture, of age, but also of skill. So I really want the hustler, you know, the seller. I want the financial person. I want the technical lead. I want the commercial lead. So the diversity lies in all of those skills, and if you can then represent that with culture and with sexual diversity, you've got an absolute dynamic that any investor knows is unbeatable. Mm-hmm. And if you look at the statistics, I mean, worldwide, if you get that right, those teams outperform the other teams with 10%, mm-hmm. you know, at least. And there's another statistic from McKinsey that says that diverse boards represent a 27% a better likelihood of success for those companies. So I think the statistics are speaking for itself. There's so many studies done on this that I think we're doing ourselves a disfavor to not listen. Mm. And it's a comfort zone, you know, if you just think about yourself, who will you appoint? Mm. Probably a black woman, you know? If you interview people, who do you feel more comfortable with? Mm. I feel probably more comfortable with white women. Mm. Let's just be honest with each other.
Bias, yeah.
And if we can't be honest, how do we then expect the male banker to be honest with us? So I'm telling you, I've got a bias. If you can tell me you've got a bias, then at least we can sit around the table and say, how do I counteract my bias? Yes. How do I make sure that I appoint a healthy team?
Definitely. This is the most honest statement that we've heard on air today, as you say, that sometimes we do need to be honest about our biases and that they do exist, even subconsciously so, even if they aren't deliberate. But help us contextualize, as you've said, this is not just about investing in women for women's sake and bringing them to the table, but understanding the value that they add. And there's a beautiful case study in terms of conversations and interviews you've had with two female entrepreneurs who started what is called TikTok for Writers, Shannon and Priyanka. Tell us more about them, the co-founders of Volve.
I actually, Google, I don't know those.
Okay.
We haven't invested in those. It might have been in the article, but we've invested in companies like Coa Academy, that is an online business school. We've got incredible mixed team in New Form Foods. You can go and Google these companies. They're all mixed teams. They do edgy things. New Form Foods create meat in labs. So they don't, it's vegans running this company, mm-hmm. and they're creating alternative meat in a lab. So I can tell you those stories, but this TikTok story, I unfortunately don't know.
But you know what's interesting, beautiful about it is that at least there are other businesses that are coming to the fore that we might not know about, but it does tell us that there is progress. So maybe let's focus on Coa Academy. I do see that they are in the ed tech space. They say that they help support small classes, helping real people in terms of growth and 100% matric pass rate that they witnessed in 2023. So not only are they great to invest in, but they're bringing about the results in terms of their mandate.
And again, a male and a female team. And what's so nice is that they're growing every month. Mm-hmm. If you look at their statistics, they've got a positive growth. Every single month they grow, and then they want to diversify into Kenya and potentially Ghana, Namibia, Tanzania. So very interesting space, the edtech space. What is really nice about that is you can do it all virtually. And what they do that is unique, because you can think anybody can put a curriculum online, but they then do the human element, is that the teacher cannot teach more than 8 people in a class. So they create an intimate online setting, doesn't replace a physical school. They don't compete with physical schools. They compete with online experiences that's intimate, direct, and the pods, they call it pods, get to know each other. And they've got a online socialization that doesn't happen 1 to 200, you know, lots of edtech solutions does it differently. So they restrict their own growth by being very intimate, but it also becomes then their competitive advantage. Can you see there's this little thing that makes a huge difference? And also a male and female team.
Definitely. From what I'm understanding here correctly, Audrey, as you say, we do need to bring more women to the fore. So we also need to be bolder and I guess more aggressive in finding opportunities of networking. But beyond that, we also need to make sure we bring diversity to our teams to make our businesses more competitive, but also more attractive to capital. So is there another or additional takeaway that we need to bear in mind for male and female entrepreneurs just to make the table bigger, but also make it more diversified?
You know, I think in any context, I used to run a large tech startup event in my past, and I did a little thing. I just made all the judging panels diverse for deciding who's the winners. So what I want to say to the audience that listen to your show, think of any place where you create a panel, decision-making structures, any place where people actually make people go to the next level and try and get that diverse. Whatever you control, try and make it representative. And that's the magic formula.
100%. Make it representative completely in terms of the customer you want to serve, the investors you'd like to bring on board, and of course, the capital that you'd like to attract. Audrey, such a pleasure speaking to you, and all the best with raising more capital for more female founded startups. And hopefully we as females also feel a lot more encouraged to take the bull by the horns and start new innovative companies that are well positioned for growth.
So lovely to speak to you.
Thank you, Audrey. Such a delight. That's CEO of Anza Capital, a venture capitalist firm. So essentially investing in high growth companies at a very early stage. So as mentioned, you need to have a phenomenal idea that really does buck the trend and of course can see significant investment. That's Audrey Faraha, who's joined us this evening.
If you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.